about to fight in a competition, and my dad just goes, "Now." And I was like, "What do you mean now?" And all of a sudden, I just woke up.
Oh, God.
I just woke up on the floor.
Hey, everyone. It's Karima, a.k.a. The Blurred Girl, and I'm back with a special episode. I got a chance to talk to one of the stars of the new Netflix show, Woo Assassins, and that show happens to drop on Netflix today. It's actor, stuntman, and martial artist, Louis Tan. Now, I first heard of Louis Tan actually back when he was publicly lobbying for the role of Danny Rand during the online campaign for Asian American Iron Fist, which I was a very big fan of. For those of you who are not aware, the Asian American Iron Fist campaign was basically about casting an Asian American in the role of Danny Rand, as opposed to sort of the trope of the white man that goes into Asia, learns Kung Fu, and then comes back to save everybody but Asians. Subsequently, he did not get the role. It went to Finn Jones, which is a shame, really, because I think he really would have done well and brought a different angle to a rather problematic character. Anyway, Louis did join the cast in season one in the role of Batty Zhu Cheng. And as usual, he stole the show. He tends to steal every scene that he's in. And he really did an amazing job as he fought Rand, basically like Drunken Master style. Tan is tall, but he really embodied the role well. He had one scene, and it was one of the most talked about scenes of the whole series. Now, for those of you who are questioning my opinion, my martial arts background is basically hours and hours of Sunday morning kung fu movies and several years studying Aikido before I separated my shoulder twice. Don't do that. Like, ever. Not Aikido. Aikido is a wonderful practice, but don't separate your shoulder twice because... Anyway, I digress. Basically, after Iron Fist, Tan basically began popping up all over the place. I kept just randomly seeing him in things. Most notably, his own social media, which he owns. He's very good at promoting himself and his martial arts very well. And is also very big on promoting a lot of female martial artists, which you don't see a lot. Last season, he was on AMC's Into the Badlands, starring Daniel Wu, who's also the showrunner. He played Shatterstar in Deadpool 2 for like, I don't know, a minute and a half. And he's done a ton of other guest starring roles and stunt roles. He's been a stunt performer for years, and now he's going to be co-starring in Woo Assassins alongside a ton of other really amazing martial artists, including Iko Uwais, who, if you have watched The Raid or The Raid Redemption, he's an Indonesian martial artist and he's amazing. And actually, if you've watched my YouTube video I dropped over the weekend, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. The show also stars Mark Dacascos, who was obviously in a bunch of movies, martial artist himself. My favorite is Drive, but he was also in, he was one of the final baddies in John Wick's Parabellum. The show also stars Byron Mann, who plays Iko's dad, and Catherine Winnick from Vikings, who I did not know this, apparently has a black belt in Taekwondo, and Juju Chan, who is a huge kickboxing champion from Hong Kong, that I did know. And also, Zai Ma stars in this, which is really weird because I got to spend like an entire afternoon with him and a bunch of other folks in Chinatown. Basically, back in May after he gave a speech at Goldman Sachs for Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Shout out to Patrick Chen for that hookup. Thank you very much. Woo Assassins is directed actually by Stephen Fung. And you know who else is in this? Summer Glau. That's right. River from Firefly, y'all. You thought I was going to say Terminator, didn't you? Something else interesting to note is that the Wu of the Wu Assassins refers to the Wu Xing or Wu Qing. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, but I know that Wu means five. And I think Xing is elements. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Iko, because he's embodying all these monks of the past and is able to get all these powers from other people, I'm getting a very Last and Airbender Avatar kind of feel to this, which is a good feeling. Trust me. Love that series. Not the movie, but the animated series. In this interview, Lewis and I talk about how he was born in England, was raised in LA. He grew up kind of all over the place, but mostly on Hollywood sets, like Tim Burton's Batman, where his father, Philip Tan, worked as a stunt coordinator. Now, his father is of Chinese descent, but he grew up in Singapore, where he learned Muay Thai and basically became a world champion Muay Thai kickboxer, which, of course, he taught to his son. Lewis also ranks in Kung Fu, Jiu-Jitsu, and I believe Kendo. I know he knows Japanese sword, but I'm assuming it's Kendo. Somebody hit me up in the comments if it's another form and I got that wrong. Anyway, this interview was really a lot of fun because I got to reminisce over martial arts movies and geek out over like styles and techniques and just fangirl in general. It was a lot of fun. The only thing that actually would have made the interview more fun with Lewis would have been if it was in person. So I've got to take a break and pay some bills. But then when we come back, you'll hear my interview with actor and martial artist Lewis Tan. Do you run a hosted website on WordPress, or is your site really slow? Have you gotten hacked in the past and you just didn't know what to do? Well, if so, you need SiteGround. Now, I am a SiteGround affiliate. I'm also a customer. In fact, I switched theblurredgirl.com over to them and never looked back. In fact, I've put other people onto them for two reasons: reliability and customer service. You can try it yourself at siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. That's siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. Now, unlike some other hosting sites that have a really great affiliate program and seem to be really popular, many of them don't have customer service. SiteGround has great customer service. They don't talk to you like an idiot. If you can't find something, they'll help you work through it. They have a really easy control panel, and SiteGround is really the truth. You can start hosting your site today for as low as $3.95 a month. You can run a store, a blog, anything really. And they can even move your whole existing site over for you from another hosting service, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of code and stuff. So if you've been blogging or running a website for a while now, it's time to take your site and its security seriously and move up to SiteGround. Sign up today at siteground.com. That's siteground.com/theblurredgirl. Let's go back to when you were a kid. Who were your heroes when you were a kid, Lewis?
Well, if you don't know, you know, my father, Philip Tan, is a champion martial artist. He won the British national champion when he was 22 years old. He's also a fight coordinator and a stunt coordinator. So I grew up around that world, the action world, on set of different films. Like my dad did Batman with Tim Burton, and you know, he did Indiana Jones. He did Tango and Cash, Big Trouble in Little China, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, Inception, like many, many, many films. So I grew up around that world. I mean, you know, I guess my father was my hero in a way, because he was the one that kind of introduced me to these two things that now I'm in love with, you know, martial arts and cinema. And he kind of, you know, threw me in the world and didn't put pressure on me to be a part of it, but kind of just showed me the, you know, what's there. And my father and I would train a lot when I was a kid, and it was a time that me and him could bond. You know, we'd stretch in front of a TV and watch Bruce Lee or watch Jackie Chan, of course, you know, like the legends.
Yeah.
But my father was more of a hero to me than them, because I got to see him doing it live. You know, I got to see him.
It's interesting because you said he didn't discourage you, but did he warn you about anything about like Hollywood, or specifically just being Asian in Hollywood? Did he warn you about anything?
I saw my dad suffer a lot of loss. You know, I saw him suffer a lot of roles that he was up for, or films that he was up for, and discrimination. So when I was a kid, it's not like he was showing me like, hey, look, this is what happens, or, you know, be careful, this is how you're going to be treated. It was kind of just like, I just watched it, and I saw it firsthand. And it was one of those things that stuck with me throughout my career. And even now, as things are starting to open up, I always have that drive and that idea in the back of my head of how I saw him be treated, or how I heard about how Bruce Lee was treated, or how I heard about certain actors who I thought were incredible, you know, were treated like they were nothing. And then they remake their films in America. And there was just always this, like, it's not good enough. And
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Unless it's westernized, yeah. You know, and it's,
yeah, I was thinking of that when you said, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, when you said Bruce Lee, all I could think of was Kung Fu and like the whole mess with David right. Carradine and everything, and how, I mean, years after his death, we're getting Warrior, but at the time he had script after script that they were like, no, you know, no one's going to believe this. Let's make
right.
it.
And no one said they, I even read something saying about like, he didn't have enough charisma to lead that show or something, which is just, it's insane to think about that they would even, that would even, because if you watch his audition tapes, even his interviews, you know, he just oozes charisma, oozes swagger. Like, you know, there's no way.
His gravitas was his chi. Like, it entered the room before him. Like, he was.
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, to see someone like that, and have to suffer the same things that I'm suffering, or my father's suffering, or other Asian American actors are suffering, or other actors of color are suffering. They're like, it's crazy, because it's almost like it's going to happen no matter what. And in a way, it builds you up and makes you strong, and it makes you be the best in the room. You know, you have to be the best. So in order to just get what an average, you know, performer chance that they would get.
Yeah. When you were sitting on the floor with your dad stretching and watching some of those movies, which ones do you remember being your favorite?
No, we watched the classics, you know, we watched Enter the Dragon. We watched a lot of Jackie Chan films. Rumble in the Bronx was a good one that I really liked. Drunken Master. We watched all the classics, you know. I don't know if I have a favorite. It's hard to say which one is my favorite.
Because there's scenes that are maybe good in one, but the whole, you know. Yeah, I probably also showing my age, but I remember like sitting up with my brothers just in the morning, just watching all of those on Sunday mornings. So yeah, I mean, you actually did train and win, you know, competitions. What was, do you remember the first tournament that you won?
Yeah, so I performed, I used to fight in kickboxing and Muay Thai, and mm-hmm. there used to be this thing called smoker tournaments, which were like amateur kickboxing and Muay Thai bouts, and they would have them mm-hmm. at the different gyms, and then all the gyms would come together and the people in the gyms would fight, and you'd pay for a ticket, and it was like a amateur arena, you know. So that was mm-hmm. going on for quite some time. I think they're done with now, because some sort of regulations don't allow that to happen anymore, but during that time it was like, it was the amateur ring. So that's where I used to fight for the majority of my fighting career. And so you would do like either 3 5-minute rounds or like 5 3-minute rounds. I had a pretty good record. I didn't lose. I think there was only one draw that I had during the time that I was fighting.
Well, I vaguely remember hearing, I think you said this, that the only person to ever knock you out was your dad.
Yeah, true story.
Now, I'm going to assume that you were sparring and that you didn't piss him off and he just hauled off and knocked you one.
Yeah, I was training for fighting, and I was training at the time, and I was fighting a lot, and I was kind of like a cocky, I was a little bit of a bad kid, and I had a kind of an attitude. So I was just kind of in the mood. I was just in a mood, and I was training with one of my younger brothers. I have 3 younger brothers. I was training with one of them. And, you know, I beat him up a little bit, you know, and he was my younger brother. So that was like, it was almost like my duty to do that. But then, so anyway, I roughed my brother up, and he wasn't happy, and he went crying to my dad, and my dad was like, okay. And then he's like, you think that you can bully your little brother? He's like, all right, well, watch. He's like, at any given time, I could do the same thing to you, and you'll see how it feels. And he just walked away, just leave me with this looming feeling.
Oh no,
of, you know,
that's the worst.
I was just like, whatever. I was just like, whatever. It is what it is. And then, so I just went on my day, and then I think like 3 days later, I was about to fight. I think I was fighting the next day. And three days later, I'm training with my dad as per usual. I'm about to fight in a competition. And my dad just goes, now. And I was like, what do you mean now? And all of a sudden, I just woke up.
Oh, God.
I just woke up on the floor. I was like, I see what he did. Oh, my God. And that was the one and only time in that ring that I said it in is the ring that it happened in.
It's funny. I'm the oldest and I'm the only girl. And I can tell you right now, if I knew Muay Thai, it'd have been a wrap.
Right.
My younger brothers are twins. So they have this innate ability to just know where each other is. And they would just gang up on me. So, oh my God, it would have been a wrap. It would have been a wrap. But wow, man. But see, look.
Oh, wow. So you had to go 2 versus 1.
I hated it. And then I, of course, I was trained more as a dancer. So I trained only Aikido. My mother was like, I don't want you hurting people. I'm like, but she didn't know until, and I actually really went back to it in college. She had no idea that Aikido could actually be as strong as other stuff. What she liked was that there was no offensive to her. It seemed like it was all defense. And I was like, yeah, that's because Sensei wanted to talk to you first. But still, you will stay laid out when he talks to you.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like all the styles, that's hilarious, actually. I feel like all of the styles have something special and unique about them. And, you know, I think people always ask me this question, you know, what's the best style? I think if you look at the way that it's developed, the best style is no style. Like if you really look at the UFC fighters that are doing really well, I mean, UFC is a pretty good example of the most advanced fighting techniques possible because it's trial by fire, you know? So whatever is going to be the thing that as it develops, you can see the development, and the best development is no style, which is, it's to be fluid. It's to be able to adapt on the floor, you know, standing up, and in many different situations, because especially, you know, you know what it is in an octagon. You know there's a cage behind you, but in real life, there's no cage behind you, and there's many different variables. So you have to be extremely adaptable and fluid. And I think that's the best way to... Now I train for that type of scenario. You know, before it was like strictly, I was like Muay Thai. Muay Thai is the best striking that there is. But now, you know, you can take a little bit from everything, and then you can make it your own, and then you can really have all these different tools.
On Into the Badlands, Daniel Wu made sure everybody was very well trained. Was that refreshing?
It was great. I mean, Daniel set a nice tone for the series and for set. You know, he's the leader of the show, and he also kind of had that energy as well as in training and in you know, offset and off camera as well. So that it was really cool to be a part of it, because for me it was the first time that people were like there's a whole unit dedicated to the action, and there's a director, there's producers, there's a whole team, makeup team, that everybody's on that unit. So it doesn't feel like, so for people that don't know, when you shoot a normal film, there's first unit and then there's second unit.
Right.
And second unit will come up and they'll have a little skeleton team, and they'll, you know, they'll get a brief amount of time to shoot the action, and then that's it. We got to move on because we took all day doing the dialogue. That's how it's normally done. On Into the Badlands, there was two separate gigantic units, and both of them felt like their own film set, you know? So on the fight unit, we have Master Didi, we have Steven Fung, we have Andy Chang, and they're leading and directing and choreographing like it was a whole nother separate film. So they really took their time to respect the action scenes, and that's why Into the Badlands is a breakthrough series you can't set a bar to it. Like if you really look at the action design, you can't touch it. Like there's nothing that's touched it.
No, it's excellent, and it harkens back to the Hong Kong dance troops that actually used to go at it all day, and the wire work and the things like that. That's what was fascinating to me about it when I started watching. I was like, what is happening? Oh my God. Like that wasn't a stunt person. That was that actor, you know? And I knew when I saw you, right. It was legit. But one, it looked really incredible on our end, but two, it also looked like a lot of work. Did you come away unscathed? Or did you have any, did you get any scars from that one?
No, I had a few injuries in that one. I mean, like you were saying, people don't understand how much work it is. They, you know, it's very easy to go on set to do your scenes and then go sit down and let someone come and stunt and double you and do all the hard work as far as the action and performance is concerned. But if you're doing a show or a film that has action involved, you are doing the audience a disservice if you are not there also performing, because there's emotion in the movements. There's emotion in dance. There's emotion in martial arts. You can tell a story like that. You know, like I can see when people are being doubled. Like, let's say, for instance, I know the double, because mm-hmm. I know a lot of the.
Well, you know everybody anyways.
Yeah,
so you'll recognize
I know everybody
them.
In the stunt community, right? So I can see the double and I know how they move. I know how certain people move as comparatively to the actors. So it's like you can perform in those movements. So for me, I'm like, I hate any time that I can't be there to do something, I'm super frustrated, you know, like 95% of the time I'm there doing it. But if for whatever reason I can't be there, or they're shooting something without me, or they need me in some other place and they have to do this pickup shot, I'm frustrated, you know,
yeah.
like frustrated to the
yeah.
point of like, I get angry. Like, so I do my best to make sure that I'm doing all my action scenes, and you can tell the difference when.
Oh no, you can absolutely tell the difference. I remember in Daredevil in season one, where they had that famous hallway scene that was supposed to sort of mimic the hallway scene in Old Boy. They were like, "Oh my God, Charlie Cox is killing it!" I'm like, "Charlie Cox is not on set."
That's
thank
a good friend
you.
Of mine.
I was like, "That is so obviously not Charlie Cox."
Yeah,
he killed it.
But in
he
that
killed
sense,
it.
I mean, look. That was a hard one. That's a hard, long one take to do. You know, it would take Charlie a lot of training to be able to get to that level. And Chris Brewster's on like another planet. So like
and blindfolded,
yeah,
no less.
That's a hard one. So I get that. But for the most part, at least I would at least hope that these actors that are doing action series are at least training and taking it seriously, because you're really, like I said, cheating the audience in a way. That I feel is it sucks, because for me, I'm doing my scenes and then
yeah.
I'm doing my action and then I'm going home and getting a few hours of sleep and going back and doing it
doing
the next
again.
Day
yeah.
for 11 months
yeah.
straight. So like, it takes a toll on your body. Like you were asking if I got injuries, you know, I mean, we're swinging these swords at each other, and sometimes the lights and, you know, you're tired and you're in the mud or whatever, and it'll slip and hit your hand or hit your wrist. And those swords are not, you know, they're fake, like they're not sharp, but they're steel, like they're
oh, they're still the weight. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were
yeah.
I thought it was
some
like
some of them are super heavy.
Oh, okay, cuz I know I've gone to other sets where the weapons, well, obviously the weapons in the background are usually really, really fake, but the ones in the foreground are usually more real. But I thought it was much lighter. I didn't realize. So it's still the weight of an actual, like, Kenpo sword,
I mean,
but it's
there's
not.
There's some of them that could take your head off, most
damn.
Definitely.
So,
like,
okay.
you know, you have to be careful. It depends. You don't always get, you know, the perfect weapons to use, because the props department wants to build something beautiful, right? So when you
yeah.
see it, you're like, wow, this is insanely beautiful, but man, if this hits me, this is gonna hurt. So you know, it's one of those things. So yeah, I mean, I broke my foot.
Mm.
I have like scars all over my body from it, but it was worth it, man. It was worth it.
No, dude, you did an amazing, and you did an amazing job also, even in the acting department, because I know everybody talks about the action, but like when you knew your mama was going to die, and then, you know, you thought you were going to die at the hands of your sister or whatever, like, and you did a really good job, because sometimes it's just the opposite where you have like people who
yeah.
are very good at stunts, but they're like wooden, but you're really good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You very famously were petitioning to play Danny Rand on Iron Fist. Didn't get the part, but had what I feel is one of the best scenes in the show. And it's really funny that you mentioned Drunken Master, because I feel like your first scene, fight scene with Finn as Zhao was basically, the first time I saw it, I was like, this is Drunken Master.
Yeah.
This is Jackie Chan, Drunken Master, who at the end, when Jackie's character actually drinks the alcohol against his master's wishes and gets drunk, I'm like, this is what I'm seeing. I saw Monkey King in there. I saw everything in there. What were you going for?
I mean, it's you have a great knowledge of action cinema. Yeah, no, those were two of my biggest influences for sure. Look, you're never going to top Jackie, right? So I didn't want to try to top Jackie because that's just impossible, but I wanted to bring that kind of wildness and that swagger to his, or that energy that he has when he's doing his form and his martial arts. There's so much character involved. So people, you know, some people, like when you watch that scene, the reason why a lot of people like that scene is because I just tried to go there all the way. I tried to go there all the way with the accent, with the body language, with the movements. Like I tried to channel that dragon. He has a dragon inside of him, right? Like the character in the comic book has a dragon inside of him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wanted that dragon to be in his body language, you know, in this kind of like, this kind of serpent-like, powerful, fluid, snaky, you know, type of vibe. So, and I'm tall, I got long ass arms. It's very difficult for me to do drunken style because drunken style is very
compact.
Yeah, it's very compact and low to the ground, and it has this crazy kind of like monkey like feeling to it. And for me it was difficult for me to do those movements. I have a lot of Jackie Chan, it's he set the bar so high, but
to most of us who look, I couldn't do it. I was, you know, but I could definitely see what you're going for. And then the style, look, I'll be honest, when you were fighting the stunt guy, I felt that you had competition. So I'll leave it at that.
I had a hard time on that set because it was just a hard character to play, and I wanted to do it justice, and I wanted to make an impression, and I was very, very, very happy and overwhelmingly grateful when the response was what it was, you know, like when it went viral and I was getting so many messages every day. It was crazy, like, and it was in the news, and I was like, wow, this feels, you know, the people saw it and the people liked it. So
you also have this uncanny ability, and there your starring role is coming, like your major starring role is coming, because in every scene, every movie they put you in or every show they put you in, you keep stealing the scenes from the stars, so they're gonna get it eventually. But one of the things that they put you in, I was so excited to see, was like, oh my God, he's gonna play Shatterstar. And then I saw Deadpool 2 and I was angry because I was like, I'm sorry, what? You don't hire Lewis Tan and then just do Shatterstar like that. But then they brought you back.
Well, you know, they did kill Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
too,
no, they but they killed half that. You know, he killed half the team, and then they went back and he brought everybody back. But yeah, right. It was just one of those things that was like, really though? And also, I just wanted to ask you what it was like fighting in that wig.
Yeah, that wig is heavy. Oh my. I've never fought in a wig before.
Because that wig was so extra. Heavy. I was like, why of all the characters? Granted, he had many different styles in the comics, but that was the one that somebody said, okay, go watch anime and design this costume.
I love that character. Like, I used to have that action figure. I used to play with it when I was a kid, you know. I was sad that I didn't get to do more as well, but I had such a good time, and there's such a cool cast and crew that, you know, I have nothing but great memories and great things to say about that experience. But yeah, I mean, look, I would love to do a Shatterstar standalone film and make it kind of like a Mad Max meets Gladiator type of thing.
Yeah, it'd be nuts.
Mojo World and he's like in an arena. Yeah, that would be dope.
That would be amazing. So Marvel, if you're listening, that should happen. So
call at me.
Jumping forward to Wu Assassins, what was it like, first of all, working with Ico? Because that his style, he's got an Indonesian style, which is different. And he was also the stunt choreographer, wasn't he, on the show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you talked about mixing different styles. Is it, how was that on this show? And tell us a little bit more also about your character, because not much has been released to us about all the different characters.
Yeah, so I play a gangster called Lucien Lee. Lucien. And Lucien is kind of a wild card. He's kind of got his hands in everything. He's playing with the Chinese triad. He's got deals with the Russian mafia. Like, he's kind of like a lone wolf type of gangster. He's very flamboyant and kind of cocky and a little bit out there, you know, in a way where there's things that have happened to him in the past that has caused him to overcompensate for this kind of like outlandish personality, but he's dealing with a lot of pain and insecurities, you know? And so it's a really cool character to play because he's not just that typical crazy gangster bad guy. He has so many layers to him, and those layers get revealed deeper and deeper as you watch the show. So, you know, I think the original appeal of the character to me was cool because he was a modern Asian American. He's mixed, you know, he's Chinese American and he grew up in San Francisco. So he feels very Americanized in a way. And it was cool to play a type of character like that because, you know, I have a lot of similarities to that feeling living in, being born in England and being raised in America and having only a little time in China. So for me, it was cool to play that role. Eco is special, okay? Eco is about to blow up. Right. So like you said, if you don't know, go watch The Raid. Okay.
And the Raid Redemption.
Watch Headshot. Watch The Raid 2. Watch The Night Comes for Us. Yeah. Eco is special. Eco, in my opinion, this is his Western debut. You know, he's been in other films before. He was in Mile 22. He was just in Stuber. But in my opinion, this is really his kind of coming out into the Western audiences, you know, people that have never seen The Raid, that don't know anything about Eco, this is going to be their first glimpse of what he can do. First off, he's a great person. Like, he's just a great human. He's really kind. He's super funny and has no ego whatsoever. And it's so refreshing to see that because he's really talented. You know what I mean? The guy is super talented, and to step onto a stage with him and get to fight right next to him. First off, I had to be on my best game. And secondly, yeah, because he's fast. He's much faster than me. So I had to really, really be on point. And yeah, he was, like I said, he was so generous and collaborative. He would teach me stuff offset. He would bring, you know, we would train together. He would show me different moves. Like, you know, his style, Stilat, is very new to me. I didn't even really know anything about Stilat until I saw The Raid. So it was very like the Indonesian fighting style, and he is a master at it. He's a grandmaster at it. So like to see him perform it, and to his team, all his boys, like his UICE team, perform every day and get to train with them. I mean, it was a gift. Like, I was getting paid to do that, so it was crazy because I was learning so much, and at the same time, my skills went up a lot as well. So
yeah, I remember when people saw the Zhang brothers fight Keanu Reeves, or I'll say Keanu Reeves got on his knees and the Zhang brothers fought him in John Wick 3. People are like, oh, you know, this is kind of like that stuff from The Raid. I'm like, that is not kind of like the stuff. That is the stuff. Those are the guys. This is Eco's team. This is the crew. And I don't know. When I watch
those are Eco's boys.
Yeah.
And that team with him, the guy that played Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the craziest fight scenes I've ever seen in my entire life.
I know. And I'm excited to see, you know, the work. Also, hello, Mark Dacascos. There's also, isn't there a young lady from Into the Badlands that's also in this with you?
No, I think, are you talking about Juju?
Oh, yeah, no, she's the kickboxing champion. That's right.
Yeah. Juju Chan is kickboxing champion. She was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. She's a legit fighter as well. She also competed, I think, She competed, won a bunch of titles. She's an incredible martial artist, like real deal, kick you in the face, knock you out.
No, and she is. You know what?
Videos of her knocking chicks out on YouTube. So no, people there, don't think she's legit. Just Google it.
And that was the other thing I was going to thank you for, because I think I'd seen her fight, but I don't think I'd ever seen anybody actually talk to her before those little shorts that you were doing during Into the Badlands. And I just want to thank you for those, because it's really rare to see as many women being highlighted in like in that arena. And I just want to give a shout out to you, like, and thank you, because little fangirls like me are over here like, yes, finally, there's women that have been fighting in, you know, in legitimately fighting in martial arts and in even in martial arts cinema for years, Michelle Yeoh and on up.
Yeah, but definitely. Well, that's one thing that Wu Assassins has that is so cool, is they have not just, you know, we all hear this phrase like strong female characters, you know, but a lot of times female characters are kind of placed in these action shows as not as props, but as like, you know, they're just placed there because they're, you know, it needs to be seen like eye candy type of thing, you know? And I hate that idea. And our show is so cool because they're not just strong female characters. They're character, they drive the story. Like these female characters drive the story forward. And they all fight and they all kick ass. I mean, Catherine Winnick, you know, she did Taekwondo for I think like 15, 20 years. Like Catherine's awesome. Like Lily was in there training with us, doing her fights. I mean, she comes from a dance background, but she was there and she was like 100% gung ho about it. She's like, no, I need to do it. I need to do it. And we were all kind of supporting each other and pushing each other to do every part of the performance. So, you know, I mean, the female characters in this really drive the story. So I think it's really cool. Celia, another one who had to learn swords and wushu and did an incredible job doing her own fights and her wire work and stuff. So very, very, very proud of our team.
Awesome. Now, for people who might not know what the hell we're talking about, but want to watch the show, like what would be your elevator pitch to them?
Well, look, I would just say this, you know, Wu Assassins, if you like martial arts and action, you're going to come for that. But honestly, you're going to stay for the story, because the story is universal. The story is about identity. It's about what does it mean and what's my purpose. And being someone who's, you know, foreign, like America is built on foreigners. Like we built this nation, foreigners built this nation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it was built. And what does it mean to be Asian? What does it mean to be Asian American? What does it mean to be a foreigner in this land? And on top of that, the pressures of identity and finding your purpose in this place. That's what the story is actually about. So it's cool because there's many different dynamics of the story that you get to see in a modern tale that hasn't been told before. Like, you know, Warrior is great, but Warrior, it's a period piece. And I like the idea of bringing all this to modern times. And we have elements of the ancient Chinese mystic story and, you know, the tales of the Tao or the energy force that drives humans, you know, or that drives the life force, you know, and it's in different religions and cultures, it's called different things. As well, we have the craziest action series ever. So, you know, that's my elevator pitch if we're going up 16 floors.
Awesome.
We have the editor of John Wick and Deadpool. So,
oh, really?
Elizabeth. She's an incredible, talented editor from Iceland, and she is editing our show, and she just did such a killer job. Like, she knows how to edit action. You know how people complain about people that cut action too fast, that they don't let it breathe. I mean, this woman, she knows. If you're a fan of John Wick or Deadpool 2 or Atomic Blonde,
this is awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with me and reminisce about growing up and talking about your shows.
My pleasure.
Can you briefly tell us what's next for you, or are you not allowed to say?
There'll be some upcoming news. There's some news coming, dropping shortly.
Soon. Yeah, okay.
I've pretty much just been spending the year turning down projects and doing, you know, to me, like, it's about legacy. I'm here for legacy. I'm not here to make a paycheck however I can. You know, I'm here for legacy. I'm here for the long term. So I pick my projects very carefully, and there's a reason why I do what I want to do, you know. So
you got to be careful with shit out there, though. Wait a second. Hang on. Marvel, that does not mean that Lewis does not want to be paid. Lewis does want his own show, but he wants to be paid.
Well, yes.
You got to be careful what you put out there, man.
No, but I mean, truthfully, like, I don't even go back on that. It's I've been at times in my career where I had nothing and I was still okay. And I've been at times in my career where I was making a lot of money and I was okay then. Like, you know, I think the feeling of being driven by wanting to create a legacy and wanting to do good work is the drive that pushes me forward, other than, you know, paychecks. Like, money comes and money goes. It's just, there's, to me, it's a thing that doesn't have any weight in the decisions that I make when it comes to my career. So it's a nice thing and it allows you some freedoms, so I respect it, but legacy is my goal.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for coming on the show and talking about everything with me.
It's my pleasure. Anytime with another martial art film buff, anytime.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a geek. People don't believe me either. Like, wait, you watched? Yes. You know, women watch TV too, right? It's very bizarre when I have these conversations. But tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs.
Yeah, I'm on the interweb at Lewis Tan Official on Instagram, on the Lewis Tan on Twitter. And don't forget to check out Woo Assassins August 8th. We got some surprises coming this week as well for Woo Assassins, for everybody who's interested in the show. We got some surprises dropping. You know, I don't want to name any names, but there might be a music video coming out. I don't know. We'll see.
What? We'll see. I will also lose it if I see you or Eco singing. I'll be done. Anyway.
No, we want people to watch the show. Actually, Eco's got a good voice.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'll tell you this. Remind me when after the show comes out, I have a video of Eco singing in the makeup trailer, and I will post that video if he doesn't kill me.
Oh my God.
Just remind me when the show comes out.
I will, but now I'm scared for your life because he actually could kill you.
I'm scared for my life too.
That was fun, right? I'm super excited to check out the show. I am not going to have time to binge watch the entire series, but I will definitely be checking out the premiere tonight because I'm just very, very excited for this show. And even when we weren't recording, like, Lewis Tan is a very, very nice human being. He really is. He's very sweet, very humble. And I was really happy to hear him talk about some of the realities of growing up as an Asian American in a culture that sort of fetishizes Asian culture sometimes, and being able to eke out a career in Hollywood. So yeah, it was a great conversation. Please comment. Tell me what you think. Are you going to be watching the show? As usual, rate, comment, subscribe, tell your friends. Please also check out SiteGround. I'm an affiliate, but I still stand by their products. I use SiteGround for The Blurred Girl. Definitely check them out. And also, The Blurred Girl is also now on the Himalaya app. So if you download the app and you listen to the show there, there's even a little tip jar and you can leave me a little something, and that money will help fund me doing more of these more often. So thanks again for listening, and I will see you on the interwebs.